From the Roots Up, CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto.
Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. We're going to be talking about what everybody else is talking about, the pager attack, walkie-talkies, pagers, whether or not the lines of, supply of basic things that people buy online or do business, or the supply chain has been poisoned by somebody. By the way, I guess I should say right at the top is I'm not aware of the government of Israel saying they did this. Some people, including some here in Canada, were applauding them, saying it was, oh, that was brilliant, causing a small explosion in the face of persons unknown in another country. Somebody thought that was brilliant. But as usual with these things, and we should go back each step, very often people are talking about, why did Israel do this or that? To me, one of the key issues is, why don't they say they did it? They often, in the case of the assassination of a Hamas leader who was part of the peace negotiations, who was assassinated in the Islamic Republic of Iran, Israel did not say they did that, but everybody agrees they did. I mean, I assume two seems reasonable, but they don't start with talking to the perpetrator and saying, was that you? Instead, we have to be in this coy world. We talk the same way about nuclear weapons, which is rarely comes up when we're having this discussion about the current issues of Gaza and potential all-out fighting along the border of Lebanon, Israel. And during all these various attacks that are organized. The flyover, for example, of Lebanon is in the thousands by Israeli warplanes. That's common. They often use it as they fly over Lebanon and attack Syria, which is a sovereign state, and there is not open hostilities, but these attacks go on. But to go back to nuclear, there's a nuclear issue. And if we actually have lived for decades, until really quite recently, where there was a question, does Israel have nuclear weapons? The answer is yes, and the answer has been known, but there's no editorial written in the Ottawa Citizen or the Toronto Star about, well, is this country that has nuclear weapons not formally acknowledged that? Is it a signatory to the Non-Proliferation Treaty? Has it been officially counted? Have their bomb centers, or the places where they might keep them, been monitored? The answer is no. The word impunity has come up continually, regularly, in the case of Israel. It starts there. I'll go back to this linking it. They said, why doesn't Israel acknowledge it has nuclear weapons? And they said for years, and since they no longer say it, I'll remind everybody this is what they said. It's strategic ambiguity. In other words, we're not saying yes, we're not saying no, which is not actually in international affairs permissible? You have to say yes, and you have to, or you have to say no. And if you say no, for example, everybody made, they've twisted and twisted the arms of the Iranian government. And the Iranian government says, no, we don't. So they said, well, we have to have super inspections. People have to come from every portion. All of our intelligence people have to be in your country, walking around your sites where you have the capacity to make such a thing. And we have to be, and we have to go through your pockets, and we have to know who's doing. And but that is not applied in the case of Israel. Not a word is said. They say, well, actually, formally they've never said, and they still haven't said. Although we're told by experts that they probably have somewhere in the range of 200-250. Nuclear weapons. This should not be a matter of ambivalence. It ought to be on the record for everyone to see. And the language of strategic ambiguity should not be permitted. And so when they say, "Well, we're not saying," then there should be a meeting of the Security Council, and they say, we have international treaties, and so you got to declare what is your point of view. Do you have them, or do you not? And if you do, how many? What? And then you can join the club, which exists, of nuclear states. And there'd be some accounting, and when there's talks about reducing the number of nuclear weapons in the world, you will be part of those talks, and you will go along with what we agree to. So you have to join the other nations. This is part of the reason we have this ongoing tragedy at the moment. We have a state which says it doesn't go by these rules. It hasn't said yes, it hasn't said no. And we don't have, in the places where it counts, with Israel, the Washington, London, Paris, we don't have states willing to make this an issue. In this country, I think, well, and on the nuclear matter, I don't think NDP's ever said anything about this. But in terms of addressing the problem, there has to be a removal of this status of impunity, where this state does things that the International Court of Justice calls genocidal, or violates laws of war, and it's a major military power. There has to be an accounting from here, because the Israel is given impunity by Ottawa, his partner. Not that Ottawa's voice counts much, but Washington, and this impunity is applied in that no matter what happens, they get money, direct outlay of billions that are simply granted to them, and they get all the latest military hardware, and that is not interrupted. Which brings us to the fact that as this crisis unfolds, we are living with an enormous lie, which is that the U.S. is doing something to bring some restraint. That's a lie, a complete lie. And they know very well everything that the State of Israel and Prime Minister Netanyahu is doing. They know ahead of time what he's doing, and they know in real time what's going on. And yet, they also, the U.S. primarily, is involved in talks, and we have to, I know we do this a lot on the show, but we do it because I'm not aware of a lot of other people doing it. There are the talks, in some way, are just a sad joke. It's like a being at a bus stop and there's no bus. They say, well, there's a process is going on, and we're doing our best, and we're working 24/7. That was what Kamala Harris said, working 24/7. And when we, it's also understood that the dependency of Israel upon the United States is so great that a firm stop would bring about a firm, an actual stop. What they are getting is a firm wink, and they say, "Well, we're all talking," and there are hostages. We have to remember that this, they seem to be forgotten in all this. When I say that, I mean on you have contending parties. You have a violent adversarial relationship. So Israel is holding prisoners, which they deem terrorists, and the Palestinians in the form of Hamas, and they have, of course, have prisoners. And all you have to do is, and it's been done many times, is exchange them. And you have to have a ceasefire, et cetera. I think one of the things that bothered everyone, that we know that it could be done rather simply, but the U.S. is in charge of this, so that what they're doing is fiddling while Israel tries to finish off Hamas, which is, we pointed out, is kind of a phantom exercise because political entities built on the idea of resistance will come into being so long as there's a material need for resistance. That's just a simple law. And now that we're talking about Lebanon, people should remember that there was a Palestinian leader. I guess we have generations now hardly know his name, Yasser Arafat. And Yasser Arafat was in Beirut in I think it was 1982. And Israel sent its army all the way to Beirut to destroy Yasser Arafat, and they encircled the city of Beirut. They had their tanks there. They were blasting the city. And eventually he was, Arafat, was, there was a negotiated deal, and Arafat left Beirut and went to, first to Algeria, then he went to Tunisia. Eventually, through their wonderful, eventually, peace process, where the decades passed, he ended up in running a kind of rump state on the West Bank, not quite running it, and besieged by Israel on the West Bank. And so it was considered ultimately a great victory, except that now, you have armed resistance and yet the same language going on. And so, since they're not seeking realistic solutions, we have this mess. And it does, again, it does involve this non-monitoring, non-confrontation with Israel over its state attitude, which is rules don't apply, and it does feel that it says that we don't care what anybody says. So the problem on the other side of that equation is that those who should be saying something are not saying, and they permit that kind of thing. So states, the responsible powers, need to confront Israel and say, well, you have to answer the questions. Did you do something that was criminal? You'll have to account for that. Do you have a weapons of mass destruction? You have to say yes or no, and you have to account for them. You can't ask Iran to account for its weapons, which in their case has never been shown to have nuclear weapons. And actually, frankly, I think it's very unlikely that they do have. Their best-known leader, Ayatollah Khomeini, said they were never going to have them, and he was opposed to them, and so it seems unlikely that anybody would dare cross in within the Islamic Republic, change that policy.